ready for this? Powder folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league. Yee-haw!
Yippee-ki-yay! Word to your mother, and welcome in to another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. The podcast. As always, I am your host, Chris Mitchum, the proud manager of the now 4-0 Team Fairlife, here with the usual gang, Aaron Hunt, the manager of the newly crowned, newly named Sun God Squad, Aaron Hunt.
It's a new day. It's a new age. Dumped Russell Wilson like a bad habit. Mm. Time to move on to a new era. Amon-Ra St. Brown, baby.
He is certainly
be here. Year five. Wild times.
There you go. He is certainly more sexy than Russell Wilson. And as always, my fellow co-host, the manager of Close But No Jamar, Tim Rader.
How are we doing, party people? Week four in the books. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's keep marching. Wild, man. You are listening to episode 83 of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It is the evening of October 3rd, 2024, Thursday. As always, as we have been the past couple of weeks, we are at the halftime of Thursday Night Football. There are points being scored on a Thursday night, fellas. Can you believe it?
That is incredible, and it's actually a decent matchup. Got some actual points being scored, so we like it.
It is. Everybody is getting a touchdown, but unless your name is Chris Godwin, apparently.
Shut up. He's going to get his. I swear.
Let's hope not, for my sake. So we may give you updates as that goes through, or if we get distracted. As always, please bear with us, because we're just three dudes that love football. Week four review coming your way, along with another crack on the This League guarantee. Tim, you have some explaining to do on that one. Then we got the week five preview and, of course, the drink of the week. Before we get started, I'm another week of drinking water. I'm so sorry. I know people expect better from me. But it's water for me. Aaron, what are we sipping on?
I'm going to be lame as well. I just have water. I know. I'm going to be sitting by a campfire drinking some burr most likely this weekend. So.
Oh, nice. Where are we going?
Going to go camping with some members of the church that I'm a part of, and going to go down to Greensburg. We have a men's camp out every year in October, so it's a good time. A little fellowship and a little burr.
Heck yeah. Beer, Jesus, and fire, dude. Talk about good conversation.
Yes, sir.
And then, Tim, what are we sipping on? Please tell me you are saving our lame butts and you're being cool.
Dude, it was a very nice international chess day. So we're rocking right now some protein, a little protein juice.
Okay, that's fair. That's cool. That's a lot cooler than what we're doing. So, all right, gentlemen, we had football being played. It was a big week. I would say this was a very close week in this league. So we'll get to that here in a second. Let's dive into the week four preview. As I mentioned, we had three games, ladies and gentlemen, in week four come down to Monday Night Football. I would say the scores were really close this week as well. The top three scores were all within, you know, 2-3 points of each other. And then even in that middle range, you know, you had a lot of guys that were really close together in the 120, 115 range. So I feel like it was a very even scoring matchup, unless you're named Steven, across this league. So
dude, everyone put up at least 115 except Steven.
Yeah, we're Steven. So we will just dive right in here. One of the games that came down to Monday Night Football, a big class in the Chipotle division, it was Aaron and the newly named Sun God Squad coming into this one at 2-1, taking on a guy in unfamiliar territory, Anthony, Team Uninspired Youth, the defending champion at 1-2.
And man, to set the table, right? Aaron's 2-1. He's looking for a stranglehold. He's trying to like get an early leg up in Chipotle, which, you know, I used to be team Chipotle, but now I haven't had Chipotle in a long time. They kind of suck butt now. Like they haven't, Chipotle hasn't
been
good.
So you're having
years.
Qdoba now? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm on Moe's. I might submit let's become Moe's and Qdoba instead. Let's replace Chipotle. They don't deserve those honors to be in this league. I digress. Playing for Chipotle. Anthony on the other side, like kind of reeling a little bit, trying to figure out what's going on. As Chris mentioned, this game came down to Monday night football. Anthony was done, set 119.7 points. Aaron on the other side had Tyreek Hill and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The two dudes, man. The two dudes.
Down about 35. What is it? Yeah, about, wow, quick math. Yeah, about 35 points. And while one player looked really, really good and was throwing past touchdowns, catching touchdown, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you had some major question marks fly about Tyreek Hill. Mm. And the whole Dolphins organization as a whole, like, man, I thought Snoop Huntley was going to come in and like, not like tear things up, but like at least the
move the ball
fun. And they just almost bored. Like that game was unwatchable. I mean, they lost 12-31 to the Tennessee Titans, who were playing Mason Rudolph.
Ooh.
And Tyreek Hill, to spoil, just couldn't get it done. Got 8 points on 7 touches of the ball, leaving Aaron falling short. They're both tied at 2-2. Anthony winning 119-115. Not quite enough.
Not quite enough for Aaron and the sun god there. He falls to 2-2. Anthony improves to 2-2. That Chipotle clash, you know, it's getting heated in there. And that's certainly something to keep an eye on as we move forward. We'll move on to the next matchup. It was Clayton and the Red Rocket coming into this one at 1-2, taking on your boy, Team Fairlife, the last remaining undefeated at 3-0.
And fellas, this game was very close.
Jesus!
Very, that was very close. God. Clayton put up a heck of a fight.
Ugh.
And look no further than Nico leading the way for Clayton with 33 points.
Sheesh.
The wide receiver 2 on the season. Solid contributions as well from Brian Thomas and Jaden Reed alike. Both of them in the flex were sexy for Clayton this week, man. Unbelievable. Got 21 from B. Thomas, 27 from Jaden Reed, which, by the way, definitely looking like the wide receiver 1 in Green Bay for the foreseeable future.
Hey, Tim, you want to guess what like ranking Jaden Reed is right now regarding wide receivers in fantasy football?
I mean, he's got to be up there. I know he's had like what, a couple of blow up weeks, like 8, 9, 10.
He's the wide receiver 4 right now, which blew my mind. Yeah, I know. That's insane. Jaden Reed,
a little second rounder out of Michigan State.
Yeah, I'll eat cake. I was avoiding all Packers wide receivers coming in this year, but
man,
it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think it was just, you know, who was going to take the torch, right? With, you know, Christian Watson and Dontayvion Wicks was like kind of a guy, but we'll talk about him a little later. RBs for Clayton, they still suck, and they are just the reason he lost. Just look no further than them. If he had any semblance of just a floor, even of a guy who could go get 10 points, that's a win. That's likely a win for Clayton. So he's got some draft picks coming up. He needs to address that position. But man, Clayton, I've been very impressed with your team this year. I feel like you are making noise and you're heading in the right direction, man. Nice job. For Chris, your Bills didn't show up at all, but the new toy did. Malik Nabers is really good. And I'm going to keep every single week because that guy looks like he is the crown jewel of that 2024 draft class, even above MHJ at this point, because I just think the athleticism takes him to a new level, and he's also shown he can run
he's the truth,
pretty
man.
Much the whole route tree. So not saying MHJ isn't great. Shout out, Zach. I'm not trying to downplay it. I think he's still very elite, but maybe lacks the athleticism Malik has. RBs for Chris, always consistent. Helped you in this matchup as well. Kyren and Kamara combining for almost 50 points there. Shout out Dalton Kincaid.
He's back, baby.
9.7 from the barren tight end position. You'll take that any day of the week. I want to ask Chris real quick before we move on, though. A little yikes for Devon Achane going forward. We a little nervous
for
with
the Dolphins
QB situation. I mean, it's bad. For I mean, I have Tyreek, so I get it, but.
Yeah, the biggest hope is Tua comes back and we keep on keeping on, man. It's bad right now. It's bad in the streets.
Bad vibes, but nonetheless, you overcame some bad vibes and you won by 6 points. 136 to Clayton's 130.
I'll give credit to Clayton, man. I was sweating. And the worst part about that was this game also came down to Monday night. I think I needed to score like 8 points, and I had Achane and James Cook. And he had the Dolphins defense, and it was terrifying because Mason Rudolph coming in, I was like, he's going to throw 3 picks. I was so scared every single time the Titans had the ball. And I'm almost kind of glad Will Levis got benched because, you know, he was going to fumble twice and throw a pick. And you'd think he threw a pick on his very first, like, throw of the game. So the fact that I only needed 8 points and I had James Cook and Achane and I was sweating until the last possession. Like, even Clayton texted me and was like, hey, I just need a Dolphins touchdown. And I'm like, the worst part is that could freaking happen. You got Mason Rudolph. So, big ups to Clayton, man. Huge respect. He had me sweating, and I think he's going to have a lot of people sweating as the season moves forward. So, I improved to 4-0 by a hair. Clayton falls to 1-3, but he's a frisky and fun 1-3, baby, let me tell you. So we'll move on to the next matchup. It was Tim and close but no Jamar taking on somebody who's already prepping for 2025. Don and Njigba's in Paris coming to this one at 0-3. As we all know, Tim coming off a rather shocking loss. I think now that the season's played out a little bit, we know that Zach isn't as bad as we thought he was going to be. But still, Tim dropping that game surprised a lot of people. And we just knew that Don, he got sent home officially last week in the winner-go-home game. So he's just kind of playing for pride at this point. And his team certainly played like it. I will say, 115 points is a respectable total for Don's team in the current state it is. But Tim was a huge favorite coming into this one. And he did win 133 to 115. The only things I will highlight here, Tim, it's one of those things where you can have 8 running back handcuffs, and if one of them hits like Jordan Mason, it's worth it, man. That's a free running back. That was a lottery ticket that you got, and now you have the running back number 5 in your possession for seemingly, it seems like every week, longer and longer and longer. That Jordan Mason. Yeah,
the CMC talk comes out every week, and it's like they just add on. It hasn't gotten good yet.
Yeah. I know. But I mean, regarding Tim, I feel like this is yet another week where you just have really solid performances all around. You know, CD really hasn't taken off yet. I would say Jamar Chase, you know, he's starting to get to that point, but still, I would say he hasn't really taken off yet. But you're just getting so much solid performances from everybody that you're easily, you know, getting over 130 every week. And if we look at Don, I mean, Tucker Kraft, that's a bright spot. Obviously, the new starting tight end for the Green Bay Packers. And then my eyeball emoji of the week goes to Xavier Leggett down there on the bench. I think Xavier Leggett either went late first or like really early second in most drafts. Yeah. But in ours, I would say he slipped to 204. I would say that was probably a fall a little bit. And I think Bryce Young had a lot to do with that. But now that we have Andy Dalton, now that we have somebody that can actually get the ball to these receivers, if you tell me Xavier Leggett's more talented than Deontay Johnson, I wouldn't fight you. I have not done enough research or done the eyeball test because who's watching the Panthers, right? But I wouldn't say you're lying to me if you're like, dude, if you've seen Xavier Leggett, he looks a lot better than Deontay Johnson. Probably he's a little more raw, but I think as the year goes on, we will see if Xavier Leggett has those shining moments, those little moments that it's like, yeah, he's the real deal. And I think he had his first big game this week, 6 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown, and an awesome horse celebration with his touchdown. I love hearing that man speak. So nothing really huge here. Tim, as I said, takes home the dub. He improves to 3-1. Unfortunately, Dawn falls to 0-4. The watch for Dawn winning his first game is officially upon us. We will move on to the next game. It was Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 1-2, taking on Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan at 2-1. I will say I picked Steven to win this game, and it looked promising for 90% of the week. I'll just throw that out there.
Man, I was on the Steven hype train, and I think at the last second I swapped to Hayden. So this was a matchup personally where Hayden's trying to stick it to me and prove he belongs and improve to 3-1. And Steven's just, you know, trying to feel out the team, trying to tread water and see what the direction could be. Like, are we going to try to squeak in there, or are we on to 2025? I think this game answers that for him.
Yeah.
Carson Steele.
It was a great ride. It was a great ride, Carson. Wow.
Run off into the sunset. He got his 8 points last week.
80 fab.
But combined the other 3 weeks of the season, and he has been worth minus 1.1 points.
It was a great ride, dude. That 1 week was, man, it was great.
Alligator Steele is no more. And it's just tough when that's what you're dealing with. So I think we can be officially on to next year. He did have some bench pieces pop off, which good to see. But again, I don't know that it helps you this year, right? Like Christian Kirk, he's been so inconsistent. I mean, you can throw him out there every week and ride the ups and downs. Jordan Addison, Aaron's favorite, you know, had 2 touchdowns last week for 23 points. And as well, he had a little Chase Brown, you know, against Carolina. Everybody can just pound the rock. So the Bengals, I think Brown and Moss both touched the ball like 18 or 19 times, 23 points on the ground. So like there are some points out there, but just not enough to hang your hat, in my opinion. And for Hayden's team, you get a performance like that out of Derrick Henry. He took off on that first handoff, and I said, okay, so he still has it.
He took off, and I was like, man, he doesn't have it anymore. Look how slow he's running. And then the safeties behind him look like they are running for their lives, and I'm like, they're not running very fast. And that,
yeah,
it makes you realize just how fast Derrick Henry still is.
Yeah, he just looks like old Derrick Henry of old. So, you know, in a game when they go up big like that, Derrick Henry's going to put up monster points. You'll love to see Debo coming back from the injury report, but then again, he's still dealing with some question marks around Waddle and the Miami Dolphins situation, and ETN, the Jacksonville Jaguars look like maybe the worst team in the NFL. So not going to be a lot of like positive game scripts there. And for his bench, he gets the shout out going into the starting lineup, likely moving forward, one Dontavian Wicks due to some injuries at Green Bay.
Yes, indeed. Your final score there again, Hayden moving to 3-1 with 124 points. Steven falling to 1-3 with 89. We have one game remaining, meaning that is our game of the week.
And your game of the week was Stretch at 1-2, taking on Zach at 2-1, a surprise, very much a contender in the top half of the league this year after a strong start. Deontay Johnson can confirm alive. Red Rifle is there to stay for the rest of this season to make him relevant. I'm actually hoping for my sake that maybe he doesn't do as good because my trade with Zach right now? Not looking so good.
Yeah,
the Martin
injuries. He's the one. He's the first one that'll tell you that.
Darnell Mooney might even start my lineup, but I still had it. But I digress. C.J. Stroud, what a baller, man. 27 points. He's just a fixture in his lineup. And fellas, hot take. Brian Robinson might be the best B-Rob in the league this season.
He's disgustingly good. Like, he's
a great take.
So boring, but he's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he just gets it done. Had a pretty solid output. And Wandale Robinson showing out for the Giants. If you guys listen to the Ballers episode, they'll probably have said this and gave it away for you. But guess what place he is for targets this year?
Oh, in the league? Isn't he like sixth or something like that?
Close. He's fifth.
Fifth in targets. In a Daniel Jones offense, because Neighbors is first, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy that first. Daniel Jones has two of the top leading target getters.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. Last point I'll make on Zach's team. Sad vibes for Rashee Rice and his mother as well. Come on, girl. You're stealing packages with your son's name on the jersey? I mean, unbelievable.
Rashee Rice is sad, though. Take a moment. Rest in peace to my dog.
Can we take a minute to like just acknowledge like what's going on there? It's been almost a week and we still haven't heard like results from an MRI. Like
they're waiting for the swelling
have, like,
to go
billions
down?
Of dollars and like the highest medical equipment.
You would think so. I don't know. He got placed on IR today, but you know.
Yeah, but like they still haven't announced what's wrong. Yeah. Is it torn or is it not? Come on, guys.
Yeah. Pretty sad stuff because that was a fixture also in Zach's lineup, and that will hurt him indeed. He'll have to replace that somehow. Meanwhile, on Stretch's side, fellas, Mike Evans, I'm just convinced will always be good. He'll be in the league when he's 40 years old, and he's just going to be good. He's the Larry Fitzgerald of this generation. He's just every year we doubt him. Every year he does well, including tonight he has two touchdowns. So keep doubting him. He's going to keep proving you wrong. Dallas Goedert continues to get it done. He's the tight end one by, I think, a lot, which is pretty insane. But nonetheless, Stretch did what he needed to. I mean, don't look any further. I'm going to wrap it up with Kenneth Walker.
Oh, gosh, he's
my goodness. 33.6 points, had three touchdowns on Monday night. It was just a fun game overall. That had fun vibes, lots of offense. Final score in this one, 138, Zach 115.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, your week four review. Lots of close games, lots of similar scores. And I know I say this most weeks, but, you know, 2-2 sounds a lot better than 1-3. 3-1 sounds a lot better than 2-2. These early game matchups, you know, they mean a lot going forward. Obviously, they don't have maybe the weight and the pressure of a lot of the ones as we get toward the playoffs. But, you know, in order to get in those positions, you got to play the games. So, really good week, I think, for the league, especially going into Monday night. Even that nasty Titans-Dolphins game had a lot of eyeballs on it. So, we will now move on. But before we do that, Aaron, I know this has been a rather difficult 3 days, 4 days this week for the Sun God squad. I can see your face turning red already. I just want to give you the floor as somebody who's been going through it. Let the league, you know, hear your wrath and what you want to get off your chest here.
All right. I've been pent up for a while now, and I just need to get some stuff off my chest. I'm going to try not to cuss because I'm trying to be a good Christian man. But
here we go.
I'm swinging, and I'm coming right at you, host. Oh. What the heck are you doing trying to pick up a tight end that's just going to sit his butt on your bench the entire season? You might even drop him. You literally might even drop him at the end of this year because you're like, ah, I don't really need them anymore. It's just like the rich getting richer. You're just picking on the kids who are poor and don't have anywhere else to go. You know, unbelievable. I can't even look at this guy because he just laughed all the way home after he just got six fab. Ha ha ha. Takes it away from me and Tim.
Little project at tight end, you know, whatever.
I'm freaking real. And I'm the most tempted to cuss up a storm with Anthony.
Oh.
That guy pissed me off. You have three defenses, dude. You can't play all of them. You can't play all of them. Oh, sorry. Defense four on the season wasn't good enough, so you have to go get number one. I mean, what are we doing, man? Go get, like, an actual good player that might be depth for you or somebody you can play. And you're spending all your fab on stupid stuff. I'm freaking real, man.
Stupid stuff.
Crazy. Absolutely mind-boggling. The fact you have to do that, just disgraceful. And I texted you, too. I said, dude, you are annoying. You are so annoying. Hated. Unfreaking believable. God, I'm tired of losing.
All right. I thought we were going to get something on Trey Sermon in there, too. But I guess that one... that one gets off scot-free.
Well, see, I was just pissed off so much about the other two because Trey Sermon's probably just like a one-week thing. And you know what? If you want to really get Trey Sermon for 1 week for 43 fab, that's on you, man. Whatever.
That's on you, bro. That's a you problem. All right, Aaron, you feel better?
A little bit.
All right. Well, this next segment, we can dog on Tim. How do you feel about that?
Aw.
All right, let's do it.
The This League Guarantee.
I don't even blame Tim on this, really. We'll get into it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't blame him.
I know. Last
he's got to throw a pair and just get in there, you know?
That's what she said. All right, last week, George Pickens over 4.5 catches. That hit. Aaron was Saquon Barkley over 70 rushing yards. That happened in like 20 seconds in that game. And then, unfortunately, Aaron Jones, anytime touchdown scorer, let the squad down. Let the squad down. How many carries did he have inside like the five in this game, Tim?
It must have been at least like five or six. I'm looking at play-by-play right now. On Minnesota's last drive before the kneel down, it was an 8-play drive for 38 yards, and he got 6 carries. Like, they're up 9. They don't need the points. They don't need, like, they were trying so hard to get Aaron Jones a revenge touchdown in Green Bay.
That would have been nice.
He looked so ready to do a Lambeau leap. Of all my any times this year, I was most confident in this one. So, like, man, they tried so hard and just didn't get it done. I mean, he had 22 rush attempts and 5 targets. Like 27 touches for Aaron Jones is high. He's a guy that like normally is like 18 to 20.
Yeah.
Where you want him. So like they were feeding him and they just couldn't quite get it done. So
I know. That's probably the one that should have happened but didn't. So we'll just give you a small fart this week. I should have had like a smaller fart in there. You almost had it. So, but it's a new week. It's a new set of prop bets that are coming your way. As you saw how close we got this week, we're due, baby. We're due. So let's get into this. Aaron, I'll start with you. Your first leg of the This League Guarantee this week.
Yeah, I'm going to keep with the theme of rushing yards.
You do like that.
And I know it's a little gross, but DeAndre Swift, 50 plus rushing yards against Carolina.
I mean, do it again.
Wrong button.
We saw what he did last week against the Rams. The Carolina Panthers are arguably one of the worst, if not the worst, run defense in the entire NFL. I think he hits this in the first half.
Wow. All right.
First half.
That's ballsy right there. Of course, I did the fart noise, and then somebody is starting him this week in his lineup. So I don't hate it. Swift over 50 rushing yards against Carolina, coming off a big week last week. On him, though, I did notice, I've always thought, like, give me a second here. I've always thought he looks fast. He looks quick. He looks powerful to me. Like, when he moves, like, he moves really well. But then I saw this video of almost like the same run pattern. It was him and Jonathan Taylor. And it's all about vision, right? Like, Jonathan Taylor gets a carry. He stops. He goes through one hole. He jukes the defender. He'll move through the other hole that's made through the made by the offensive line, and he's off, right? DeAndre Swift will get it and, like, run behind the line, and there's an obvious hole on the right. And then he just, like, rams into the back of his offensive lineman running left and just, like, tries to move the pile for 3 yards. And it's like, brother.
That's like a blast from the past Trent Richardson type, right? Wasn't that his thing?
Yeah, he's just no vision, no vision. So that makes me feel better. I never could figure out DeAndre Swift. Like, every single time he gets the ball, I feel like he looks good, he looks fast. Usually his offensive lining gives him no chance whenever they try to run it out wide or anything like that. But that video put a lot of pieces together for me of just like, maybe he just can't see the holes. So, Tim, we will throw it over to you for your leg of the parlay.
Hey, you know, Aaron mentioned it, DeAndre Swift, what he looked like against the Rams. Saved his season, maybe saved his career, made him look like an elite running back. So we're rocking Josh Jacobs to get off the schneid and get off your first touchdown of the year against this poor, poor Rams defense, poor Rams running defense. Anytime touchdown minus 150, the Packers are rolling. Yeah. They're scoring points. Jordan Love is back. I think they're going to focus in on trying to get Josh Jacobs an early touchdown.
Yeah, it's pretty rare when a anytime touchdown is the lowest odds of our, the highest odds of our parlay, but that's hitting. DeAndre Swift's minus 125. Josh Jacobs' anytime touchdown minus 150. Mine is plus 115. And we're kind of going off the grid a little bit. We are going Justice Hill plus 25 receiving yards against the Cincinnati Bengals. And let me tell you why. The Ravens have played four games. Two, they've had to score, right? KC and Buffalo, two high-powered offenses on the other side. And then two, where they've been able to control the game for the most part. The Raiders kind of bullied them a little bit. And then they had Dallas as well, where they just ran all over them, right? In the two games that the Ravens have had to pass, have had to compete with another offense, Justice Hill has 14 targets, 12 catches, and 130 yards, averaging about 65 yards a game in those. The Ravens going against a Bengals team, which, Tim, tell me if I'm wrong, it looks like they're starting to figure it out a little bit, starting to get a little healthier. T. Higgins is back. Ja'Marr Chase looking good. So I do think they're going to be able to put up points against this Ravens defense, yeah, which is stout. Don't get me wrong.
I think it's going to be lots of points in that game. We finally got our defensive line back healthy. I think we're expecting everybody to be healthy, but maybe one. So
nice.
This is the strongest our defense has been all year.
Yep. So I like the idea of Justice Hill. I mean, I think he's the running back 27 in fantasy football right now, which is kind of crazy that he's almost a running back two and not even, you know, sniffing lineups. So I like him a lot in this game. 25 receiving yards, I feel like, is a pretty easy line to hit, even if, you know, it's not as maybe as explosive and high scoring as we think it is. You know, two or three catches, I think Justice Hill could get there.
Yeah.
So plus 115, I dig that, Justice Hill against the Benjis. So one more time, go ahead, get out your DraftKings, get out your FanDuel, whatever, I'll wait. Okay, now go to the NFL. All right, and here we go. DeAndre Swift, plus 50 rushing yards against the Carolina Panthers. Josh Jacobs, anytime touchdown score against the... Who are the Packers playing?
The Rams.
And Justice Hill, 25-plus receiving yards against the Cincinnati Bengals. That is plus 545. 10 bucks wins you $65. Go ahead and do it. Put your rent on it, put your 401k, whatever you want to do, because we're confident and we guarantee that that is going to hit. Gentlemen, week 5 is coming up. We have the dreaded bye weeks returning as well. Are you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Oh.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Well, you heard Aaron. Show's over. So thanks for joining us for another episode. Dive in. No, I am not. Hey, hey, bye-bye byes are back. It is time to test the depth of your squad, baby. And I'm so excited to get into this because we already have a couple squads that are getting their depth tested, and it's only week 5. We are saying goodbye to the Detroit Lions, the Philadelphia Eagles, the LA Chargers, and the Tennessee Titans this week. No Montgomery, no Gibbs, no Sun God, no AJ Brown, like the whole season, no Saquon, no Dobbins. Everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. So, like I said, depth will be tested this week. We will start with our first game. It's a cross-divisional matchup. We have Clayton and the Red Rocket coming into this one at 1-3. This is not a cross-divisional matchup. And Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth coming into this one at 2-2.
You have we've been over this, a dangerous Clayton
I love
Red
this game.
Rocket team.
I love this
game. 1-3, but like, you know, chasing this could be a game to put your stamp on the league for this year and say, hey, quit talking about next year. I'm going to be playing for this year. We've got right now sitting about a 52% chance of victory for said Clayton and the Red Rocket. Yeah. Projected for 125 points, but it's almost mind-blowing on the year. That's just insane. Right off the bat, like I said, Jordan Love comes back. He looks solid. Packers offense is rolling. Devin Singletary is an early question mark. I don't think he's practiced this week. He's got a groin injury. They're on the road against Seattle. I don't know if he's going to play. It might be a Tyrone Tracy week for that Giants backfield.
Is he on your bench, Tim?
He sure is.
Oh, my gosh. Tim, the handcuff.
Sure, he's one of my 12 or 15, however many I got.
That should be his new his team name at some point. The Handcuff King.
The Handcuffs. That's right, baby.
That's a pretty hard name. That's a pretty hard name.
Every year I just have to grab the next two.
Right.
Anyway, Clayton, I mean, we're first drive in the third quarter just happened. We've got Drake London with an early touchdown, 22.5 points with plenty to go. Bucky Irving, you know, he's got 5 points. Like, I think he's okay to slide in for an RB2 spot.
Which is great for Clayton's RB2 spot. He's been getting 3 points from Ty Chandler all season.
Or less, yeah.
Yeah.
If only he had, like, Najee Harris to get you 10, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, you've got Nico Collins. I think this is going to be a good week to see, like, how does he stand up against a great defense? Because Buffalo, like, I got to give Buffalo credit. Like, I was out on them again. Their defense all of a sudden just turned it around. But even with losing, like, Matt Milano, they lost their safeties in the free agency. They didn't lose. They just didn't re-sign them. They said, now we're good. We're moving on. And their defense has looked solid. Outside the Ravens game where you get behind early and you have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson running at you, good luck, like, trying to slow them down.
The return of Tank Dell this week as well. It'll be interesting to see how Nico's targets go.
Yeah, we love Nico. Got to see what we're going to do in that little bit tougher of a matchup. Right now, we're rolling out Trey McBride, single tight end, coming off a concussion against the vaunted 49ers defense. I know Brock Bowers had kind of a down week, but 5 points in the tight end spot this year is actually probably average. He's going to get up against Denver, so not a great matchup either. What do you guys feel about Trey McBride?
I was gonna bring that up. I don't know how you can pivot away from Brock Bowers right now. I know he had a down week last week, but
I agree.
It wasn't until last week when we're all saying, like, we probably think he's the tight end one this season. Probably the tight end one, and maybe not the tight end one in Dynasty, but this
maybe.
Season, you know, definitely. So Trey McBride, I know he was balling for a while. I don't know.
Okay,
both matchups kind of suck.
Trey McBride, I don't think he's been balling.
No?
He's right in 7 on the year, but he fell on a fumbled touchdown. That's his only touchdown on the year. And then other than that, if he didn't have that, he would not have double-digit points in any game. Arizona's offense is slightly struggling. I don't know. That one just We need him on the pod. We need him to tell us what's going on.
Right. Is Devontae, I mean, with Devontae Adams probably not playing another snap for the Raiders, is Bowers the new alpha in LA or Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's Brock Bowers and Trey Tucker.
That's hot. Yeah. Go Raiders, baby.
I mean, Bowers could get 15 targets because they don't have anybody else to throw to. All right. That's enough on that tight end position. Jaden Reed, he just went over at wide receiver 4 on the year. Explosive player, seems to score touchdowns every week. And a guy I think we all love and all slightly kick ourselves for not finding a way to take home in the draft, Brian Thomas Jr. has looked like a dude. Compilations from the last couple weeks on Twitter, man, he's just always open. He's always got like a yard on his guy. Now, Trevor Lawrence, you know, Aaron, close your ears. Trevor Lawrence isn't it. He's not him.
He's a very expensive, not him.
Feed a wide open wide receiver. But regardless of that, he's wide receiver 14 on the year. So you love that in the slot.
And he's playing the Colts. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm just saying points for Clayton over here.
I will say that Trevor Lawrence eats the Colts.
Everybody eats the Colts. Justin Fields ate the Colts.
Just saying.
Yeah, so Brian Thomas going to go off.
Yeah, probably. I was actually really close to putting him in my guarantee, but I was like, do I just want to keep on the Colts bandwagon? So if you guys want to just add a leg, you can just put the over on the wide receiver 1 for any team that plays the Colts, and it will hit. Just FYI.
That's a fair point. That's one of those like season-long things you can just put a unit on it every week and see how it rides. So that's it for Clayton. I think tight end's the only real question mark that you could consider playing with. Everybody else is set this week. And like I said, off to a good start with Drake London and 5 for the RB2. Anthony on the other side, again, sitting at like a 48%. So we're close to 50-50. Lamar 50. At Cincinnati, projected to be a little weather. He always performs good against the Bengals. I think he's had like 1 or 2 blow-up games in his career. They usually win. Like the Ravens team usually wins. But Lamar doesn't always like go off against Cincy. Like last year, like 26 points and 27 points. Like that's okay. That's above average. I'll give it better than good. But like no like 30, 40 burgers coming up in my opinion.
Yeah.
Chuba, looks like a dog in Carolina, and with Andy, he's gotten 28 points and 22 points against poor defenses. So this is his first real matchup at Chicago. They've got a pretty good D-line and a solid defense overall. And maybe like the biggest the latest sleeper news report. Ramondre Stevenson could lose starting gig.
Yikes to Antonio Gibson, man. That's
Gerard Mayo. That's, you know, what was it? He said, you know, ball security is job security. He's got 4 fumbles in the first 4 weeks. He's the type of head coach. You know, they're not winning playoff games this year. He's trying to make a statement and build a culture. I wouldn't put it past them to bench somebody for poor performances like that. So big question marks this week for that. Of course, Justin Jefferson, Zay Flowers seems to be getting touches every week. Well, at least that's what I thought as I click on his player profile. Last week, 2 points.
Woo!
The week before, 5 points.
Yeah, baby.
I got to reevaluate what I think of Zay Flowers, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
2 targets and 4 targets. Wow.
He's a very popular drop candidate in redraft leagues right now.
Interesting. Okay. So, man, you can just probably tell from the tone of my voice, I was excited reading Clayton's side. Anthony's side, I'm just a little cautious.
Give me the red rocket, baby.
Dude, I was ready. I had Anthony written down, but nah, we're pulling the trick. We're riding Clayton. I'm riding Clayton this week.
Everybody,
dog.
Get on. Clayton's ready to be rode. Let's go.
I'm on it. I'm on it as well. Let's go, baby.
Run it back.
Everybody's
running the Clayton train back.
Oh,
is that the name of the episode this week? It's just like Clayton is ready to be rode.
Run it back
for the second time in 3 weeks. Everybody's on Clayton.
What a hoe, Clayton, man.
Man, like you got a feel for Anthony. For Anthony. Like he's trying to throw his punches. He's trying to make his moves and start some guys. But I'm just so much more excited about Clayton's side of the team.
Yeah, Clayton. Like I said, Clayton's young and frisky, man.
Yeah,
Clayton is like the Commanders right now, and Anthony.
I love that comp.
Anthony is like the 49ers. You know, it's like, you know,
been there, done that.
They've been really good for a long time, but like Commanders and Niners play each other right now. I would bet Niners are like -2. Like, I don't know. It'd be pretty close, you know?
It might be location dependent, but yeah, that's,
and it would be fun to bet on the younger, more exciting team, which I think we're all doing with Clayton. So there you have it. That's a fun one. Clayton versus Anthony. Anthony fighting to stay above 500, which is something that maybe none of us thought we'd be saying in week 5. And Clayton fighting to go 2-3. You know, I will say this might be a bigger week than usual for Clayton, because I think if he does win this game, he's staying right in that playoff conversation. Going 1-4, your team's fun, but it's like, that's a hole, you know? So
yeah, I agree. You fall 1-4, you got to start ripping off like a 6-win streak.
Yep.
You know, 2-3, you're right there.
Yep. I agree. So we will move on to our next matchup. This one's a lot of fun for all of the wrong reasons. It is Aaron and the Sun God Squad coming into this one at 2-2, taking on fellow Chipotle division foe Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan at 3-1. Obviously, it is the debut of the Sun God Squad with Mr. Sun God himself on bye. And speaking of byes, Aaron is getting bodied by byes this week. Saquon, see you later. J.K. Dobbins, who's been the running back 2 in his lineup all year, no thank you. Ladd McConkey, no way. Amon-Ra St. Brown, see you later. Tyreek Hill, might as well be on bye. Like, you're just getting toast out here, man. Taking on Hayden, who is losing Jahmyr Gibbs to bye, and Quentin Johnson, but he doesn't count. So, just from that aspect, Hayden is certainly coming into here with a lot more firepower than Aaron. So much more firepower that Aaron doesn't even have an RB2 right now. So, Tim, I'll let you get to the waiver wire, and we're going to play a fun game of, if you're Aaron, who are you claiming and how much fab you putting on him?
Okay.
So, like I said, Aaron's current running backs starting right now are Raheem Mostert, and that's it. Literally every other running back that Aaron has is on bye, so he has to get somebody from the waiver wire. Who are you claiming if you're Aaron, and how much you're putting on him, Tim?
All right, real quick. Is Mostert practice this week? Like, I know he was close to come back last week, but like, is he even for sure back?
Limited. He appears to be ready to go. But
okay.
You know, you never know.
As of right now, he only needs one running back.
As of right now, yeah.
Out there, man. Out there on the projected, your top 3 projected waiver wire running backs right this here. Week. No, you got at number 3, Ty Johnson, Buffalo's RB3 at Houston, projected for 4 points.
Yeah, okay, that's an option.
Miles Sanders, coming off at 11 points and then 8 points at Chicago, projected for 5.
He got less than 35% of snaps last week, so maybe the vibes aren't great, but we'll stick to it.
The top running back available on waiver is one Jaleel McLaughlin.
Stud.
Projected for a nice 6 points against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Hey, Clayton would take that every week, you know? His RB2 spot.
What's funny is you guys haven't even named the guy I was going after.
Is it Cordero? I bet it's Cordero. Dallas.
No. I wouldn't hate that, but he hasn't practiced this week.
Is he going down to Darwe Ogunbowale? kind of the running back 1B for Houston right now. I mean, I guess I wouldn't hate that either.
Little Deuce Vaughn.
Literally a little Deuce Vaughn.
Do just for the vibes, do I just like challenge someone to try to outbid me on this guy?
If you want to throw down the gauntlet, we're not stopping you. But maybe not best for the strategery.
It's probably not.
It's gross this week.
Yeah, it is nasty. But with all that,
I want to reveal it so bad because it's just like
it's got to be.
When's the pod coming out? I don't need any running backs.
It will be out tomorrow morning. So
Hayden's usually.
Can you hold it off until?
Do you want the pod to go live at 12:01?
No, make it go live at like 11 or something.
All right, I can do that.
See who's listening.
Yeah, and whoever's listening.
I'm probably going to put a bug into Hayden's ears. You're going to want to listen to this.
No, don't do that. You got to promise me you won't do that.
I won't. I promise.
He listens. It's fine. Fellas, because Brian Robinson's banged up a little bit, I'm rolling with Jeremy McNichols, baby.
Dude, I'm scrolling. There he is.
What in the world?
Projected for 0.4. Did get 21 points last week.
Yeah, we're rolling the vibes.
Oh, I wish I could make that the title of the pod. We're rolling with Jeremy McNichols, baby.
This man's 28.
Should have saved the Sun God squad for one more week and rolled out Jeremy McNichols and... I don't know. Off the top of my head, I got nothing, but
that's your team name right now, right there. It's just Jeremy McNichols .. baby exclamation mark.
Ah, Pickles McNichols.
Oh man.
Gosh.
What a storyline.
If it works out for you.
That's gonna be great.
Yeah. Wow. I'm excited.
I think I can change the title of the pod. Like at 12:01.
I
really want it to be Jeremy McNichols, baby.
Do it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that is the discussion on Aaron's running back 2 spot this week because byes are body and my guy. But not only might we have Jeremy McNichols in the lineup, but we got dudes like Alan Lazard on Aaron's side. We got Trey Tucker. We have a tight end that hasn't scored a point in 2 weeks. Mark Andrews.
He's breaking out.
I know. And then even like the most unsexy name on Hayden's side is still pretty sexy. Dontavian Wicks. Throwing him right in the lineup. Christian Watson's out. I've always been a fan of Dontavian Wicks. He's one of those guys like I have him starred on my sleeper because he's somebody I watched in a lot of other leagues because with my nerdy self listening to podcasts, like a lot of people like his talent, so I think he's a great start. And you really don't have any lineup decisions on either side, unless you're Aaron with the tight end position, which Kyle Pitts currently has 5 catches for 73 yards, so that's not great for the vibes. If you're Aaron, I think you would take that and run with it right now if you could say one of your tight ends will get you 12 points. For Hayden, I mean, Jalen Waddle on the bench probably hurts the soul, but probably the right move. Other than that, I mean, you're rolling with, you know, Jake Ferguson at tight end over the Pat Freiermuth kind of thing. So I hate to do this. Also, right now, we are 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Bijan Robinson has 9 points. So that's a little concerning, considering he's
second best B-Rob in the league.
He might be, dude. He might be. And I don't even know what's going on there. And what's going on with the Falcons, right? You have 3 offensive weapons who you drafted in the top 10, and you're not using any of them. So you got Darnell Mooney with, you know, freaking 2 touchdowns right now.
Gross.
So, with all that being said, even with Bijan Robinson having 9 points, I really want to take the fighting Jeremy McNichols, man. I really do. But for the sake of the pick'ems, I got to roll Hayden here.
Same. I'm going Hayden in this one.
And it's a sweep. I'm going Hayden as well.
It's a sweep.
I have no confidence in fighting McNichols. He needs. I think his stat line needs to be like 4 carries for 13 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Wow. What a what a time to be alive. Aaron, former defending nut champ, top of the power rankings, starting Jeremy McNichols and Alan Lazard.
It's all just come crashing down.
What a time. What a time to be alive. That's a clean sweep for Aaron. Or excuse me, for Hayden. Aaron would fall to 2-3 if that is the case this week.
Feels weird.
Which is tough. And Hayden would improve to 4-1. We'll move on to the next matchup. It is Zach and Brees Lightning, another feisty team. Coming to this one at 500, taking on Don at 0-4. Surely Zach needs to get a dub this week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the man has self-proclaimed that he is a playoff team this year. Early season stats would probably back you up, but this is one of those games, you might say a trap game. You can't fall for it. Can't fall for it. You lose Rashee Rice. You can't have the momentum swing the other direction. One of those you got to have against an 0-4 in Jigbas and Paris, who are on their, what'd you call it? The watch for their first win.
Yeah. The win watch for Don.
The win watch. And I'll say he's got a shot. He's got a puncher's chance. Zach right now, CJ Stroud against the Buffalo defense. Like I said, they're a pretty top half defense. Brees Hall is like, you know, Denver was a tough defense, but Minnesota's a tough defense too. They're top defense in the league. Not a great matchup. Brian Robinson banged up against Cleveland. Not a great matchup.
Yeah, that's gross.
Marvin Harrison against San Francisco, coming off a Cardinals performance where like the offense didn't look great. Oh, man, rolling Josh Downs out there. If Joe Flacco's out there, I love it. If it's Anthony Richardson, I don't love it, but I don't know, you know, who else you can really pivot to.
Yeah.
Njoku coming back off the injury, questionable tag. Washington. Wandale, currently questionable tag. We said, you know, no neighbors, most likely. Suck it, Chris. Get healthy, Malik. Wandale could get 20 targets. Like, maybe that's where the faith is going. Deontay's got a groin and an ankle that he's been battling. Like,
yeah, Zach, get your freaking medical team together.
Up and
bro.
Down the Jesus. Lineup. Like, Tom's got a chance. Oh, man.
Madison might be a hell of a start, man. Madison might be a heck of a start. Zamir White's not looking, his availability's not looking fantastic.
Zach's going to rip me. We're rolling Don. And I mean, man, Purdy's got a good matchup against Arizona's defense, who is trash. You just call that Madison. He's getting more carries. He's taking over for Zamir White. Justice Hill is getting over 25 receiving yards at least in that sure Cincinnati is. Ball game. And then you've got Olave in a matchup Monday night against Kansas City where they're going to have to put up points. I don't love that matchup for him. And then finally, we're seeing McLaurin in that starting lineup. Great play. He's had back-to-back
over
amazing.
Brandon Ayuk, by the way. Throw that out there.
Yeah, because Ayuk's
about
been
trash
this year. And just the attitude to go with it, like, I wouldn't play him either. We talked about Tucker Kraft. Xavier Worthy, the new main target in Kansas City.
Yeah.
JSN's getting plenty of targets and the Giants, you know, not an elite defense. I'm riding Don. I'm calling for an upset here.
That would be salt in the wound. Rashee Rice goes down and Xavier Worthy comes out and has like 9 targets or something like that against Zach. Ugh. That would be tough. I think for the first time in this podcast history's existence, I feel the weight of the burden of listeners, and by listeners I mean Zach. I know he's listening right now. I know he's wanting to be motivated by all of us picking Don, and it's scaring me.
You can pick Zach for vibes,
but my heart wants to pick Don.
We're gonna get so many gifts and hate emojis.
I'll pick Zach. I will escape his wrath.
One Zach, level-headed.
I don't doubt you at all. I am 100% on your side. No doubts. Your team is going to win.
I'm going to go with Zach. Oh. I think Zach wins this
one. Okay, I'm going Don.
I knew that was coming. I knew it.
I'm going Don, baby.
I think
Zach, I really do like you. I think you're a playoff team, but I think Don's going to upset you this week.
I think even with the injury, and I know he's got a lot of questionable tags, I get it, but I think if he even has a couple of those guys just still play despite it, I think he's going to beat Don.
All right.
You're going to really let Madison beat you? I mean, you really going to let – I mean, his lineup does kind of look good.
Yeah, week. Doesn't it?
Are we riding Don this week? Are the boys riding Don?
All right, screw you, Zach. I'm going to ride Don.
Oh, no. I can't go back now. It's three against Zach. Oh, no.
This is a week that we're riding Clayton and Don.
I'm changing it in the pick'ems, too.
Oh. Oh, man, that doesn't feel good. That does not
Clayton
feel good.
Don, saddle up.
Zach, if it makes you feel any better, I don't feel good picking Don. But here we are.
I don't feel good. I'm looking for a leg up on the pick'ems. Well, I guess now it's not a leg up. I thought I had a leg up. I thought I was going to be the only one.
That's funny. All right. Well, all the boys are riding Don. The win watch ends this week, according to this pod. Don to 1-4, Zach to 2-3. You heard it here first. Let's do it. Let's move on to the next matchup. It is Steven and Mount Passmore at 1-3 taking on Walker, hardly know her, and Stretch at 2-2. Mike Evans right now, ladies and gentlemen. We are at still about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Mr. Evans, 5 catches, 62 yards, 2 touchdowns. Heck of a start for Stretch that currently has him at a 59% chance of victory. When you look at the buys, Steven has only Justin Herbert, and Stretch is having to deal with Mr. David Montgomery. That's running back number 9 overall, David Montgomery, to you guys, in case you were wondering. And Devontae Smith all out on bye right now. Looking at the matchups, the running back 2 spot for Steven. I mean, Tim, I'll throw it over to you on this one. Chase Brown, you know, we sometimes roll Chase Brown. The Carson Steele era, it was fun. It was short, but it's over. So Chase Brown, he's going with him against Baltimore. Obviously had the pop week last week. Is there any chance that he can replicate any sort of form?
You can't run on Baltimore.
Yeah.
You cannot run on Baltimore. Travis Jones has developed into an elite nose tackle. You can pass on them. You can't run on them, and I don't expect us to run on them. You put him in because he's explosive, right? Could he break one? Sure. But I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, other than that, you have your usual gang, right? Jonathan Taylor, which his status is truly up in the air. If I had to guess right now, I'm leaning towards he doesn't play, which is absolutely worst case scenario for Steven because you gave up Roma Dunze for him. So you lose him, and that means you have to pivot to Mr. Carson Steele. Maybe he does make one more appearance. Or Trey Benson, who hasn't gotten over he's only gotten over 30% of carries once in his Cardinals career. So, you know, that's your options if you're Steven. Obviously, T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, George Kittle, kind of the core, I would say, of his team right now outside of Jonathan Taylor. We are rolling out Jordan Addison, which I think is solid. That is maybe a lineup decision you could make if you're Steven. You know, you got Khalil Shakir, who has been just rock solid. Nothing special, but he has been the number one wide receiver target for Josh Allen. You know, you got Jordan Whittington. He's been, you know, all big and hype in the fantasy circles recently, especially with all of the injuries that the Rams are having to deal with. Do you maybe roll with Jacoby Myers? No Devontae Adams. You throw him out there. So I definitely think there are options out there outside of running back for Steven. I mean, when you look at Stretch, Kyler Murray against the Niners, you know, it's either him or Drake May or Sam Darnold at this point, but I think Kyler Murray is the way to go. Josh Jacobs is getting a touchdown, as we all know, and James Conner, always solid. Maybe the only question for Stretch's side here, Cortland Sutton. One, I really forgot he exists. when he caught that touchdown last week, I was like, holy crap, it's Cortland Sutton. I forgot the Broncos had like any wide receivers. But he's going with him as he's waiting for the whole Davante Adams situation to get figured out. Where do we think he ends up, by the way? Right now, gun to your head. Aaron, where does Davante Adams get traded?
Bills.
Tim.
I think he's... I would put money on Steelers right now if I had to, because I mean, really? They were in on Ayuk. They want another target over there. If anybody's going to give up enough, I think they will, especially after, what are they, 3-1 now? Like, why not go
losing
for
two?
It? Cold, team that, like, their owner is going to put chips in the middle of the table.
My money's on the Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers makes enough noise, and he makes enough noise because they love being together. So, three different spots, which basically means nobody really knows where he's going to end up. So, but yeah, I'm sure Stretch is waiting for that situation to be resolved. That's really the only lineup decisions you have there. Like I said, we're now up to a 58% chance of victory for Stretch. I think he takes this one pretty easily, especially if Taylor's out, which is trending like he is going to be. I would even like put my nuts on the table and say, yeah, it's going to be Stretch. There's no chance Steven has this week.
Agreed.
I'm not taking the underdog whatsoever in this one. I just can't. Stretch is going to win this.
Yep. I would love if Steven could put up a good fight, but not super promising this week. So a lot of us, or most of us, or all of us, are expecting Stretch to move to 3-2, Steven to fall to 1-4. We have one game remaining. That is our game of the week. And Aaron, by contract obligations, you lead this one. Let's do this.
And in the game of the week,
let's go.
We have Tim and close but no Jamar taking on Team Fairlife, undefeated in this league, Chris Mitchum. And the bye is going to hurt Tim a bit. I'll just preface that here. You got Lord Voldemort at quarterback.
Shout out
to the fantasy footballers for that nickname. Deshaun Watson at Washington. Washington's been on a bit of a hot streak. And their defense isn't really all that, but neither is Deshaun Watson. So that'll be an interesting one to monitor in a pivotal week where Tim's trying to get to 4-1. And then you look at the likes of Najee, over under 8 points. That kind of seems like the line every week. If you get over that, you're happy. If not, you're not surprised. And then as we continue on, you got the normal studs in there. Chris Godwin doing okay to this point. I mean, you'll take his output of 10.6 on Thursday Night Football. I'm very intrigued, though.
Do you take that, though? Do you take that, though? 10 points for Chris Godwin?
You know, with the buys hurting, you'd hope for more, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah. And he did have the fumble, which I think is -2, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yikes.
-1. They recovered it, yeah. If you lose it, it's -2, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, without that fumble, he almost is at 12. So, is what it is. And then, you know, starting Zach Ertz, don't love that either. Man. But if there's anything that would save Tim's week is Chase against the Ravens. That guy destroys Baltimore, which is funny because Tim does have Baltimore's defense in his lineup. Big game
very
for
Jamar complicated might week. Mean, okay.
Might mean negative points for the Ravens D. But that might be one of his really only hopes just because of how much the bye weeks are hitting, especially my team. I feel you, Tim. For Chris, I mean, he's got a lot of the usual suspects. Perhaps a bit of a surprise start in DeAndre Swift. He got one solid week, and now he says, hey, get in, buddy.
Get in there.
You're off the bench, baby. Get on in there.
Hey, he's getting 50 rushing yards, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm high on him this week. And I mean, you know, ideally you'd be starting probably, let's see who you have in your flex. Yeah, you'd be starting Neighbors if he was healthy, but he's got the concussion that's lingering. Devon Achane, get your ass on the bench, boy.
Yeah, man. Let's go. All the Dolphins.
Yeah. Bench all the Dolphins from here on out. And he's got Eric All on his bench. Screw you. I hope he goes off for like 40 this week, just randomly.
I do too.
Yeah. And then you're sticking with George Pickens. I like it. I mean, very talented wide receiver. He had a bunch of points against the Colts last week. So sticking with the vibes there.
He's due for a touchdown, man. Come on, Georgie.
You're going to ride and die a bit with the Bills, with the Buffalo Bills offense. So hopefully they can get it together for you. But when it's all said and done, Tim, I'm sorry. I just can't pick you this week. I like it up and down more on Chris's side. So I'm going to take Chris to continue his undefeated season.
I am picking Tim. I don't like the juju on my squad.
No, you're not.
Juju's not great. Achane's at, neighbors at, cup at, like, I don't love the juju. The fact that I'm relying on DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift does not bring me a lot of confidence. So doing that, I'm going with Tim.
Well, I'm taking Chris. I think he's going to beat me rather handedly, probably by about 17.2 points.
Wow.
I can see the future. My only shot outside of, you know, Jamar Chase blow up is a Jordan Mason feast game against the Patriots. He had 24 points last week, but what you don't see is he had a like 50 yard catch for a touchdown called back to some ticky tack holding call. Could have been like a 36 point game. It's going to take something like that against Arizona for me to have a shot.
I will say, and if Josh Allen has another performance like he did last week, I think that's a big reason why Clayton was able to hang around, is that Josh Allen only put up 6 points. Like, if that happens again,
that'll do it.
Yeah, if that happens again, I would say you're even the favorite if that happens again. But if Houston should be beatable, I would hope, more than Baltimore.
Josh Allen went 34, 10, 38, 6. So this week,
45.
Due to that, 42. 42 this week, and then he's going to have 2 against the Jets. So this week, he's getting you 42. Congrats on the day.
Bring it on. All right. Well, that's 2 for your boy, 1 for Tim. Zach, if you are out there and you're still upset by all of us picking Don, we can say you ruined the dream of the 4-0. The 2 4-0s, the 2 highest points for in the league, you ruined it. So at least you can be happy about that. That you ruined the league, a great opportunity for a storyline. Thanks, bro. So that is your week 5 preview, baby. Byes are here, so it's really starting to test the depths of these teams, which makes this league even funner, in my opinion. Let's go ahead and get out of here.
Broncos country, let's ride.
This league underscore pod on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find us. You can reach out to us. And as always, on your podcast platforms, Oh my God, I said it first. I'm off my game. You can comment on us. You can leave us a rating. You can share us with your friends. 5-star rating, preferably. Or you can just boom that like button. Then bring the boom.
Bring the boom to that like button.
That's right, baby, with the double chalk chocolate cookie.
Boom!
Woo. Or you could just click it.
You can just click it. Woo! All right, dang ladies, it. Gentlemen, well, thank you again for listening. Another episode, another week. Enjoy it. I am your host, Chris Mitchum, signing out. Love you guys.
Peace.
Go on, get
your favorite father and son.
Every afternoon on your FYP,
we'll be bringing the boom around the 3:15.
We bring the boom so loud the whole earth shakes,
with double chunk chocolate cookies
and chicken bakes. Buy some, enjoy some, bring the boom that everybody deserves.
And we call him Big Justice, cause that's what he serves.
We bring the happiness and laughter.